Welcome to the Curious Women Podcast. I'm your host, Meg Hager, and I'm here with my co-host, Kylie Fagnano, and we're chatting about women's health to teach you what you didn't know you didn't know. Hi, everybody. We are here today with Sarah. This is Kylie's very good friend and now somebody that I'm a huge fan of. We just met, but I am so excited to talk to you. I cannot wait to pick your brain. And Sarah's going to talk to us today about our circadian rhythms and how they affect our gut, our hormones. Hopefully, we're going to take a deep dive into all things circadian rhythm. And I'm so, so excited. Thank you so much for being here, Sarah.
Thanks for having me, you guys. I'm so excited.
Yay! So before we dive in, can you just tell everybody who you are and what you do?
Sure. So my name is Sarah. I am the creator of Nourish Thrive Glow, a functional nutritionist, my master's in functional medicine and human nutrition. And I work with women to help them create a realistic approach to nutrition to heal their bodies holistically.
Oh, I love that so much.
I think the key thing that you just said there about yourself is realistic approach. It really is one of those, you're not going to, so I know people will often hear, well, I'm an integrative nutritionist. I do all of those like annoying buzzwords. And it makes you feel like you're getting wrapped up into a cult or something, right? But totally. But what Sarah's approach is like, I'm a human being. I'm a woman. What do I find helpful? What can I actually do every day? What can I actually make a habit and then allow it to even have an opportunity to have an impact? And that, if Sarah, tell me if I'm wrong here, is a really big pillar of the way that she works with people. So that is why we are so excited to have her here. But you did a lot of research in circadian rhythm, didn't you, when you were in school?
Yes. So in graduate school, I took a really strong interest in circadian rhythms. So I wrote my capstone on circadian rhythms, disrupted rhythms as it relates to obesity, type 2 diabetes, and also sarcopenia, the loss of muscle. And so it's something that like it impacts all of us, right? It's a naturally occurring process. But it was kind of crazy as you're digging through like past and current research and even things like animal research, right? Like we see how disruptions are impacting our lives in such a negative way. And I think night shift workers know this more than anybody.
Totally, totally, wow. Totally. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So let's like address the most important thing. Tell us what circadian rhythm is. By the way, rhythm is the worst word to spell ever. I can never spell it right ever. It makes me feel stupid every time I go to, like, this is a complicated topic and I could teach you the topic, but don't ask me to spell the damn word.
I know.
That's how the word maintenance feels to me. Maintenance.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Like, what? Is it an A or an I? Or an,
I don't know.
A or an A? A or an E?
Ugh. Don't ask me. I have no idea.
I'm a bad speller. So, yeah. I use brain.
That's not what we're here for.
So, let's talk. Okay, so circadian rhythms, without going down a rabbit hole, the easiest way to think of that, physical, mental, emotional, and behavioral changes that occurs in the body. So when I say rhythms, just think routine. So these rhythms are naturally produced in the body. And what I mean by that is internally, our body is producing these rhythms. We work on this like certain cadence, right? Our body does different things at different times of the day. It can't be doing everything all at once. So the easiest way to think of circadian rhythms is to think of routines. Your body likes routines.
Ugh. And I also felt for some reason the word pattern came to mind. Is that also okay?
Totally. Yeah. So circadian rhythms, routines, patterns, a certain cadence, right? Like really just organizing your life. I think a lot of us live in chaos. So it's truly organizing your life to support your natural rhythms.
I relate to that chaotic feeling.
Oh, yes.
So much.
I love me a little chaos. Yes. I'm going to be real. I love me a little chaos. I really do.
Meg thrives in the darkness.
I do.
She's like a mushroom. That just came to. That was very good.
That was brilliant. You get so many brownie points. Kylie wins this episode.
Oh, my God. Okay. So can you give us some examples of different rhythms? Maybe I'm not asking this question right, that exists in the body. So when you're talking about the internal processes, what are some of those?
Sure. So rhythms influence almost everything. And the most popular rhythm people know of is our sleep-wake cycle, right? Like everybody, when we hear circadian rhythms, everybody goes right to sleep-wake cycle. And it is really important, but there's other cycles too, like meal timing. So we know through research that meal timing can benefit things like digestion and blood sugar. So we call them in research circadian oscillators. So circadian oscillators would be like gut health, digestion, metabolism, blood sugar, meaning they're all synced up to this rhythm. So our rhythms influence everything from mood to sleep, wake, energy, going to the bathroom, right? Our colon is a circadian oscillator. So if you're like a little bit confused, jet lag is circadian disruption. So ooh, when we're jet lagged, okay. Oh, my sleep cycle's a couple of days late. Oh, I broke out, or I'm so anxious and like, but I haven't changed anything. It's just my sleep. Well, you've disrupted your entire circadian pattern.
Wow. Does that make sense? Yes. So are these different patterns also connected or related to each other? So when one gets disrupted, do others or do the rest get disrupted as well?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, right? Like if our digestion's off, our energy's going to be off, right? And our blood sugar could be potentially off. And then we're going to feel anxious if we're sitting there bloated and uncomfortable if you're not going to the bathroom. Mm. So I truly believe from that holistic standpoint, it's that whole systems approach. So rhythms equal routines, and then it really equals balance. And the easiest way to think of a time you disrupted your circadian rhythm is when you travel or on Mondays when you can't wake up in the morning and you're just like, oh my God, I'm so tired. Because what gets us up in the morning is that burst of cortisol, which is circadian. So when we go to bed in the weekends at random times, we're constantly exposing our eyes to blue light. It's sending the body mixed messages. And so we feel it a lot on Mondays. When we go to wake up, we're hitting snooze, or we're like, I just need more coffee. It's because we disrupted our internal rhythms, and now everything's off a little bit.
Okay, wow. Guys, wow. The Monday blues. So this is not just a thing about going back to work. This is a physiological response to getting off your rhythm during the weekend.
Wow. Totally. Yeah. And so people message me being like, yeah, but what if we hate our job? Obviously, more like, you know, people say this, God, on Monday, I feel so bloated, or I'm constipated, or my face just feels so puffy. It takes me Wednesday to feel better because you've disrupted your rhythms. Your microbes are circadian too, like our cycle, hormones, blood pressure, body temperature. These are all circadian. And so most of us are constantly disrupting our rhythms by just like being on our phone late at night. So there's tools to put in place, but there's also easy things to remove, like not like having your phone in the bedroom when you're sleeping. Like little things we can all create.
Oh no. But wait, so what do you, I'm assuming you're just going to tell someone like me who my first excuse is no, but I need my alarm clock. Like my alarm clock is on my phone. And you're probably just going to be like, girl, the world existed before your cell phone alarm.
Get a clock.
I would say yes, get a clock or put it in the bathroom. I mean, you could still hear it.
Oh, that's true.
Like put it further away. I mean, it's interesting. Like for anybody who tracks their HRV, I see my HRV tank when I'm in bed scrolling on my phone the next day. I don't get into my REM as much, my deep sleep. So that blue light we see ignites something called melanopsin, which basically says melatonin, like chill out, like we don't really need you. And so melatonin is going to be that sleep hormone. And melatonin is one of the biggest, has a huge influence in our circadian rhythm. And so not only can this lead to delayed sleep, but then waking up throughout the night. And a guy named Dr. Andrew Huberman talks a ton about this, how it's almost like we're running out of melatonin then, because we've mixed up our rhythm.
Oh.
So it seems so trivial to be on your phone, be like, do, 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 right? But you're now telling melatonin, like, you don't have to come out right now, and you're getting out of your rhythm. And a lot of people then, too, will notice that they can't stay asleep. And the easiest way to say this is it's like they're running out of melatonin. The melatonin's out of its rhythm.
Oh, my God. But it's so fun. I love my time on all right. I hear you. I hear you.
I love Dr. Andrew Huberman's stuff, by the way.
I love
it. It is, yes. Anyway,
we
could put his information in the show notes for this because it's an easy follow. It's definitely worth looking at. He does the same like little snippets of really understandable, easy to get information, which I think is when you're talking about a doctor, that's not always what you get, you know.
So
he's great.
I just have a question because I forgot to ask when it came up, but what, for those who don't know, because I also don't, I think I know, but I don't, I'm not sure, what is HRV?
Heart rate variability. Okay. And so it's the easiest way to think of your HRV is it stems from your nervous system, and we actually want the HRV higher, not lower. So a lot of people that I work with, and I'm not sure like if you, Kylie, like look at, I'm sure you do too, but they're like, oh my God, my HRV is so low. Like what gives? And all of a sudden we look at their habits and I'm like, of course it is. So if you wear a ring or a Whoop, I believe the Apple Watch isn't super accurate because you're not wearing it all the time. Notice that you're under 40 and you're 40 years old and you're constantly trending under 40, like that's a red flag. And so this is telling you what's going on with your nervous system. If you're really low, your nervous system is on fire. If you're higher up, you're more resilient to stress. Obviously it changes with your cycle. So for women in our low hormone phase, you'll notice like we trend higher when our body temps are low and then vice versa. But it's such valuable data, and I think so many of us ignore it because, not to call you out, Meg, but like we don't want to get off our phone,
no,
right?
No, call me out. We get, Kylie and I have decided we get, one of us or both of us are called out on every single one.
Every freaking episode. It's such, you have to like, I need a therapy session before I go into this to prepare for like the bullshit that's going to hit me in the face, okay? But you're right. So, and I mean, gosh, we hear this from people in many, many different ways. This is just another example. Once you get the information, you now are accountable to yourself for doing something about it.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And when you see the change, then people stick with it. I'll just tell clients or even myself, like when I get out of the habit, I'm like, why am I more anxious? Why aren't I sleeping well? Why aren't my bowel movements as good? Why do I feel more bloated? Like, why does my eyes feel puffy? And then I can look back and it's like, I was on my phone. And then I'm triggered sometimes when I'm scrolling through Instagram. And when we're triggered, our adrenals respond. They don't distinguish between real stress and perceived stress. So two major hormones for your circadian rhythm are cortisol and melatonin, right? And so they're in a seesaw. When one is high, the other is going to be low. And cortisol is definitely more of the dominant hormone here. So people don't realize scrolling on Instagram, seeing a triggering post or somebody sending you like an obnoxious message, like your adrenals are going to respond. Plus the blue light with the melanopsin and the melatonin goes down. Right. And then we rely on supplements to sleep when we can really just kind of start to alter our habits.
Wow. I cannot believe you have blown my mind with this HRV thing. And I just, so wait, how does one track HRV? I know you mentioned a few things, but so Apple Watch, not so accurate. So what do you?
Aura ring, okay. A Whoop, and there's an actual holster some clients of mine wear. And it's like for like the, you know, intense clients like to wear it, and it buzzes them when their HRV is low and they like wear it around their body. I'll figure out the name of that one. For me, that just seems like, I don't like things like touching my skin a lot. So
no.
The ring is also, I think I might be wrong, but it's the lowest EMF.
It is. I looked that up. Okay. It is because Brian wears a Whoop and he really, really wanted me to get one so that we could like be on a team and do things. And I was just like, I know, you guys, I know. But you have to wear it like on your arm. And I was like, I'm not wearing a wet, sweaty piece of cloth around my arm. I mean, and no offense to Whoop, whatever. I think a lot of my friends have it and love it, but I am very excited. I'm going to do the Aura ring, I think. And I said the same thing, Brian, like, don't sleep next to me with that Whoop on your arm and like put your arm across my chest with all the radiation. Like, I don't know, sir. Thank you. No. And the ring is much lower. I think in fact you can turn off something.
The blue?
Yeah.
You can turn off the button. Yep. And it still will collect.
And then it just sinks when you turn it back on for like a blip or something. So I feel, that's a better choice. Yeah.
So what if we are talking to fellow addicts in the evening of scrolling through TikTok or Instagram, Would it be helpful at all as an interim to wear like blue light blocking glasses? Slash, do you think those even help in general?
Yes, there's the ones that, and Huberman talks about this, and then like they're those like hideous red ones that like Dave Asprey wears. So yeah, I mean, sure, that can help like mitigate it, but could, you know, still like.
But Sarah's like, just get off your fucking phone. I mean, honestly.
Like, not even just, I don't know about you guys, but like sometimes Instagram's like really triggering for me.
Yeah.
You know, like having like a public page, people can like send you things or make a comment on things and you're just like, ugh, you know, and you just, you're so obnoxious, but you feel it.
Yes.
So it's like nice hand in hand.
Absolutely. So in other words, it's not just the blue light. It's. Mm-hmm. It's right. The messages that are coming through subconsciously or like really consciously, in fact, that'll increase that cortisol plus the blue light, which is, I think you're saying, decreasing melatonin, getting both of them off their rhythms.
Mm. Totally. Right. So the blue light, there's something called melanopsin. And then that like also works in like that seesaw with melatonin. And so right. And like thinking about the HRV, like if you're doing all these things and you have a low HRV, obviously there's more to than just like knocking out your phone. But like, can you use your phone earlier? Can you set a time limit? Can you be off it by 9?
Right. Right. Yeah. I think the answer, honestly, for most people is yes, you can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You just have to choose to do it. It's
not like I'm saying like go run a 10K every night. Like just get off the phone. It's the hardest for my clients. We're like, not gonna do that.
Unwilling.
Better. Like, I finally started to do this, and wow, like I'm less anxious in the morning. Mm. Like I try not to pick up my phone first thing in the morning, but like I did today, and like I can just kind of, for some reason, like feel the wave of anxiety come over again.
Wow, love that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So they're just like little things.
So this is one of those things that we can kind of take out a habit that is removing something. What about some of the things that people can add in or either add into their day or make a new routine around that also helps? Because I passed a couple of the things that I have learned from you on to some of my clients. It changed their world. I'm telling you, like went from not sleeping at all to like perfect sleep, waking up feeling amazing. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Oh. Now there's, you know, a million different things that we did and like the willingness was there and the gut and the blah, 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 blah. But this thing seemed to really like catapult things. So I can't wait. This is the bulk of what I want to hear from you. Go for it.
I'm so excited.
We just talked about the antagonists, right? So like, what about supporters? Morning sunlight. It's just, and like, not to keep talking about Andrew Huberman, but like, he also talks about this. He's a neuroscientist at Stanford. So he's like really in the research more than anybody. But morning sunlight triggers your suprachiasmatic nucleus, which is the CEO, right, in your body. That once when your retina hits that, it says, okay, everybody, it's time to turn on. And when we're talking about things turning on, we're talking about digestion. We're talking about metabolism, hormone secretion, blood pressure. These are all circadian oscillators. So morning sunlight can be transformative. Getting outside, getting in nature, negative ions, getting that morning sunlight to tell your body to turn on. It'd be my number one tip.
So that
morning.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. No.
I was just going to ask for clarification for examples. That could be like a walk or maybe just like sticking your face out the window. If you live in, I'm thinking of like my past life in New York City where it's like, yeah, I could go for a walk, but I probably wouldn't want to. So like just stick my head. I'm just picturing me like sticking my face out my window.
Face out the window, drink your like mineral drink outside first thing. If you're commuting to work, park further, right? From the first spot, anything. And so that sunlight's just going to be so important. Okay. It's probably, aside from like genetics, the most important regulator of our circadian rhythm.
Say that again.
Aside from genetics, so there's a guy named Dr. Sachin Panda we can talk about, but aside from genetics, sunlight is the most important regulator of our circadian rhythm.
Do you
rhythm.
Hear that?
The sun.
The sun. Wow. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to change some crazy diet. No supplements. The sun. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, because I know what you're going to say here. I know some people are thinking, what about if it's raining or cloudy or snowing or, you know, some places get like 4 sunny days a year. What's your – I know you've got something. Give it to them.
So cloudy days go out, you're still getting more lux, which is a unit of light. So you're still getting more than you would get from a sun lamp. Alternatively, for people who are like way up north in Canada or in Scandinavia and they're like, it's dark all the time, or you work night shift or your hours are different, invest in a sun lamp. I'm looking for a minimum of 10,000 lux. Mm. And sit in front of it.
Wow.
There you have it, guys. Your excuses are no longer accepted.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
There are some in a good budget range too, like, you know, go on Amazon and things like that. They'll say they're lux, so look for a minimum of 10,000.
Wow. Okay. Minimum of 10,000 if you're going to use a sun lamp. Mm-hmm. But everybody else, just get outside.
Outside, even on cloudy days, get outside. Even in the snow, like, I'm originally from Buffalo, New York, like, get outside. Like, you can do it. You can do it.
Or you're in Omaha right now, which it's like 102 currently, but last week it was snow, and I've seen you outside with your dog bundled up at like 2 degrees.
Yes.
That's totally, that is dedication. You know? Oh my.
It's inspiring.
Yeah.
Helps. Yeah, she like doesn't make it like. My husband and I are like, not it. I'm always the one that, you know. Little habits, especially like if you're an anxious person too. Anxiety is associated with disruption of circadian rhythms. There was a study that found, and I'll send you guys a study and we'll make amendment if I'm wrong, but I think it's 75% of people diagnosed with onset ADHD is associated with the disruption of their circadian rhythm.
Wow. I mean, you...
Another study found that women, not men, as we age, when they disrupted their circadian rhythm, they were more likely to have an increased risk of sarcopenia, loss of muscle, than men. So just these little things, right? Like sleep, sunlight, morning movement, going outside times, going out in nature multiple times a day, getting consistent with your meal timing, can support digestion and blood sugar. And these are all free. And I understand that some people work night shifts, but you can still be consistent with your meal time. You can still buy a sun lamp. You just focus on what you can control, right? Like, this is not about like beating yourself up for, you know, maybe you're a new mom too. Like, focus on what you can control, and eventually the other pieces may or may not fall. But when we spend energy on things that drain us, your adrenals feel it, cortisol can increase. How do we think the cortisol impacts that melatonin?
Oh my God, Sarah. Oh, you just. Not,
for those I told you. I told you this was going to be like a. I know. Wait, can we take a quick pause? Sarah, what are you drinking? What is that?
Yes.
She's got this delicious pink thing, and I need to know.
Coconut water, hibiscus, lemon, aloe, ginger juice.
Yes. Oh,
yum,
my God.
For the gut. Yes, please. Yum.
Oh my gosh.
Trying to pull off afternoon caffeine because that's a circadian disruptor. So I've made a beverage that I look forward to.
That's amazing.
So you're saying if you are a person who really needs that afternoon caffeine, that you're getting that slump, aside from the diet pieces, which are definitely there, doing some of these, for example, getting up and getting sunlight on your eyeballs in the morning, might actually keep you from needing that caffeine in the afternoon. So you're like really accomplishing two things by getting in the sun.
Yes, and ideally, like I suggest for clients, is like a walk or some yoga, some type of gentle movement to improve your natural cortisol awakening morning response. So what gets us out of bed is cortisol. Everybody's like, F you, cortisol, but in balance, right? It's anti-inflammatory. And the easiest way to think of that is when you wake up in the morning and you have a cold, you feel your best. And then as the day goes on and the night comes around, you feel your worst because cortisol runs on this circadian rhythm. So it goes up, and then when it's in its right pattern, it naturally goes down. Wow. So that's just a nice way not to like beat up on cortisol entirely, right? Because it's out of control. But that's with anything in life.
Wow. I picked the wrong episode to be drinking regular people coffee, let me tell you. Because I usually drink decaf, right? But here I am with my real person coffee.
I mean, Meg, it's not still bad. The morning for you. It's almost 3 p.m. and I'm drinking coffee.
No, it is. But I also have anxiety and ADHD. So when you said the thing about the circadian rhythms, I was like,
oh,
oh no.
Okay.
I have a tip. Okay. Delay. This isn't, I can't take credit for this. This is Andrew Huberman. He's like my Instagram husband and doesn't know it. he suggested this, and my goodness, game changer, delaying your caffeine intake an hour when you wake up. Wait at least an hour. I am on 2 hours now, so I used to, like, you know, have my minerals, go for a walk, have some berries, have like a collagen fiber coffee, and now I have my coffee even later. And it, let me just tell you, my energy is just like this.
Wow.
I don't crash anymore.
Even so, because decaf has a little bit of caffeine in it, right? So that means delay even decaf coffee.
Yeah, even okay. Yeah. Matcha, whatever it is, it's hard. Don't work at an hour. Work at 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 okay. minutes. And now, like, I even, like, I'm in, like, the later half of my luteal phase where, like, our energy starts to dip. And so I've been, like, super mindful of delaying the caffeine. And what? It's, like, 2 o'clock here. And I'm, like, you can hear me. I'm, like, buzzing. And I just had, like, you know, just one coffee around, like, 7:30, 8 o'clock. And I had it. And I got up, like, you know, around, like, 5:36. And so, like, there was that decent delay. Obviously, every day is different. But when I'm, like, pretty spot on with it, energy, like, amazing.
I'll tell you what, I saw that same tip from him. I also really love Meg. I reached out to him actually to ask him to come on this podcast. Remember you when did? I said all of yes. like the big hot shots? Yeah. I'm just gonna go for it. He was one of them. So anyway, I saw this from him as well. And I also wait at least an hour. I drink my mineral thing. I do my morning, whatever it is, you know, and it does. It helps a lot. If I choose to have coffee in the afternoon, it's because I actually just want the taste of it. It's not because I need it. It's not.
Totally.
Which is, most of the time. Most of the time.
Right. I mean, same. Like, we're all human. So it's giving yourself grace and controlling what you can. But clients of mine who were like trending in their HRV, like, the 30s, 40s, we had them do this for about a month or so, and they've jumped up like 20 points.
Wow. Insane.
So, like, do things like, right, like, meet yourself where you are. If you're having coffee on an empty stomach right now, try adding in some berries with cinnamon, right? And then maybe, like, adding some protein or fiber or whatever it might be, and maybe that just works for you, and you're like, this is it for me. And if you want to take it to the next level, just try delaying it. So maybe you delay it and you have your berries, and now I've taken it up a notch even further. I do, like, my mineral water, have my berries, go for my walk, do a workout, have my breakfast, and then, like, about, you know, half an hour later, I have the coffee, and it just is really, like, different. Like, my energy is just so different. My HRV is now, I don't want to be, like, obnoxious, but it's, like, now in the 90s and the 100s.
Like, that's amazing. What is the minimum that you like to see it again?
So, like, obviously, like, your age and, like, genetics do play a role, but a minimum of 40 if you're under.
Oh, wow, and you're in 90-100s. That's great. Oh, my God.
I've, like, talked about this, and I have highlights, too, because I've been wearing this for, like, 2 years. When I was really low carb, I was stuck in the 60s. Like, you'll see, like, when I used to share it, and it was, like, really low carb, fasting really long, and then I, like, reworked some things, circadian alignment, you know, female physiology, and then it really just kind of trended up.
Wow. Can we go back to the morning sunlight? I have one quick question on that. Is there a recommended hour of the day that you do this sunlight? Or is it like if people go out at noon, is that okay? Like, is there a period of time where it's most optimal?
So if in a perfect world, we would all be like waking up barefoot on the beach or the mountain. Like within an hour of waking. So here's the thing. If you can do it within an hour of waking. If you can't, aim for sunlight before 10 a.m. If you're a night shift worker, get out in nature as much as you can when you're awake.
Okay, that's really helpful. So within an – say it again.
So if you can, sunlight within an hour of waking. If like you're like, I'm a mom, I'm this, I'm that, it doesn't work. Okay, sunlight before 10 a.m. If you're a night shift worker and you're like, I'm typically sleeping around that time – get sunlight as soon as you wake up. And then for everybody who has trouble sleeping, and even if you don't, like multiple times throughout the day, get more sunlight.
Okay.
All right.
That's it. Perfect. Perfect. Because I thought that there was, I would hate for somebody to be thinking, oh, I'm doing this thing really, really well. But really, it's like 1 p.m. is not the same as when you get up, right?
Right. And, like, and again, like if you're a night shift worker and you're coming home and you're exhausted and like you're caring for other people and your family and then you're not getting up to noon, like that's fine. What I would suggest for you is to focus on sunlight when you can and consistency with your meal timing. And when I work with night shift workers, eating the bulk of your calories during the daylight when digestion and metabolism are strongest.
Okay. Ooh. Let's segue into digestion then and how these rhythms impact digestion being optimized. So you've mentioned a couple times timing your meals and having that help. So are you saying eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner, just as an example, at the same time or around the same time every day actually does matter?
Yeah. Similar times, right? So I mentioned this person very briefly. His name is Dr. Sachin Panda. He wrote Circadian Code. He's at the Salk Institute in San Diego, and for the past 20 years, he's been studying like chronobiology, circadian rhythm. Wow. And what he has found through human and animal research, remember, researchers study animals for people that get like upset about this because they're easy to control. Humans change their behavior often when we're being studied. So what he found in like in his lab and what other research has shown, and I'll talk about this after, is that getting consistent with your meal times allows your body to anticipate it. It's like going to work and you have a schedule meetings. You can anticipate what is going to be asked of you. Now imagine going to work on a Monday with no schedule and just sitting there and people being like, hey, you do this, do that. It would feel chaotic. So meal timing is the easiest tool if you're listening to this and you deal with blood sugar issues. Because all of a sudden now when we get, you know, similar times, it doesn't need to be 9 a.m. You know, it can vary. Like even on the weekends, it can be helpful. So like try if you eat breakfast between like 9 and 10:30. You can give yourself a little wiggle room with 11 or something like that, you know? But your body starts to anticipate this. And in its anticipatory response, it starts to rev up certain things, whether it's digestive enzymes, whether like the pancreas is getting primed for, you know, the blood sugar support, all of that stuff.
Wow. Okay. The reason that I'm feeling like this is an important thing is because there's so much bullshit out there about like, I'm putting this in quotes, dieting tricks. And a lot of it is very old research that even if it came from a good place, it's not helpful and it's not correct. And so this is one of the things that I feel like has always kind of been thrown around. And so I guess what we're here to tell you is it does matter, but it's not because of maybe some of the reasons that other people used to say. It's because of this link and connection to circadian rhythm.
Totally. Wow. And so another thing to think of is they call it gut lag. When you're jet lagged, you're kind of constipated, right? Like there's no other like nice like way to say it, right? People are like, I'm sure you hear this, Kylie, like from your one-on-one clients, like, oh, I went to Europe and I'm constipated and I'm bloated. Because you disrupt your circadian rhythm and you disrupt your colon and you disrupted your microbes. So like when we're constantly eating at erratic times and sleeping at erratic times, we are basically living as night shift workers.
Whoa.
So Dr. Sachin Panda talks a ton about that in his circadian code book and, you know, references a bunch of research for people who like want to like dive into that more. But yeah.
Wow. So what tips do you have to regulate your gut when you are traveling, at gut/circadian rhythms, when you are traveling, what do we do about that?
Morning sunlight, right? So get up, walk somewhere, like walk to grab a coffee, walk to something. So this will help to improve that morning cortisol awakening response. Sunlight as much as you can. And then like, it depends on like how long you're going to be there. Let's just say you're going to Europe this summer, right? And so like you're switching a big time zone, syncing yourself up to that time zone as soon as possible through sunlight. And then just like making sure that like you're mindful of like hunger cues and like leaning into that instead of like rigid times. And then you can add in like supportive tools. Like I really like GABA and L-theanine by like Quiksilver Scientific to like help you like get into a sleep and sort of like get back on the rhythms. Bitters or enzymes could be helpful in that scenario, but just really focusing on the basics.
Okay. So like when my husband and I argue about whether or not to leave the blinds open or closed in a hotel room at night, you're telling me I should leave them open because the sunlight will help us regulate. Is that what you're saying?
So I get this a lot from people too. Like, yes and no, because yes, ideally in a perfect world, we would wake up with the birds, like all of that stuff. But if I don't want you like going on 4 hours of sleep,
right, okay,
and then like I'm forcing myself up, the goal would be like when you're up, open those windows, open the blinds, turn on all of the lights. I think sometimes when we wake up, we're like tiptoeing, put on the
everything.
Lights. I open
and go for a walk.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We can do that.
Meg, I think the real answer is, do you want the blinds open or does Jason want the blinds open? And let's just be honest. That's where the real answer is.
Yeah. No, it's me. It's me. Obviously, it's me. Because I don't know. I just like, I do. I don't know.
I do too. I prefer to sleep with the blinds open so that I get the sun when I come up. Because it just, yeah, it feels good. It feels natural.
Yeah. But Sarah, you have a great point though. Like I'll want them open even if I know I'm only going to be getting like 4 or 5 hours of sleep. And the logic in my head is like, oh, it's because I'm trying to adjust to the time zone. But what you're saying is that that's not the best way to do it. It's let yourself sleep and then get up and walk and adjust that way. Is that it?
Maybe alarm. Right. I mean, going off of 4 hours of sleep and like, you know, Kylie can talk to this too, but then like we're compounding stress and then we're going to like, the blood sugar is going to be rockier. Ghrelin's going to be increasing. When we're stressed, we're going to crave more carbs and sugars because of neuropeptide Y. So it's like, you're on vacation. Don't strive for perfection. Mm-hmm. Just add in like tools. Like everything is a tool.
Yeah.
So maybe you just set an alarm before 9 so you're not sleeping all day. And then you're, you know, then we get groggy when we oversleep. And the reason people feel groggy is because people might feel this a lot if you're listening to this. Your alarm goes off at 5:30. You hit snooze until like 6 or 7 and you wake up and you're like, oh, I feel so groggy, like I've been hit by a bus, because cortisol was ready to come out and then you said no, so then melatonin continues to be released.
Oh.
So just adopt like little tools that work for you. Don't force it. Everything I say with clients should land. If it's not landing, let it go. You can come back to it another time. But like forcing something's never going to work. Your adrenals know. So to all like the little neurons in your gut, right? It's like the body knows.
The body knows. And I think on the other hand, it also knows when something is not right. So as you're listening to this conversation, the things that really peak for you, where you're like, you feel like you got slapped in the face, that's probably a good starting point to consider.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love the way that you put these things, because we are talking about a lot of information. We are talking about optimizing, not only optimizing, okay, which is like if you're on a ladder, that's often like the top tier optimizing. It's that, but it's also saving muscle mass, allowing you to sleep, getting you through a day where you don't feel like you're just trying to survive. Right? So it really feels like there's a lot at risk here for this stuff. And so when we're taught, and God, so many of our conversations end up being that way, the idea of putting some of these things into motion as a tool instead of as a do it or else, I think just that reframing it and looking at it from that perspective alone opens up a huge opportunity for people to kind of approach it with a gentleness, instead of like beating their head against the wall and constantly feeling like they're failing and then never sticking to anything.
Yeah.
Yes. Love that.
That's such a good point too. I also like, I find this with my clients too, where like, if you try to set the goal, the end goal as the first step, it feels really overwhelming. But what Sarah, what you're saying, even with the caffeine thing, going and delaying your caffeine for an hour can be really challenging. So if you have to start with just 10 minutes or 20 minutes or a half an hour, start there and
exactly.
Grow and work toward it. You know, that's so, I think, digestible for people. You see what
pun
I did?
Pun intended. I like it. Well done.
Pun absolutely intended. It's
pun's always
intended.
Welcome.
point. And like, just what can you add on as opposed to restrict? So like, if you're listening to this and you're the type A student, don't try to do everything. So like, maybe you're like, I can't delay my caffeine. So maybe you're adding berries to it, right? To like bring in some like color, some fiber to help like mitigate that potential, like in that giant cortisol spike, right? Maybe you're listening to this and you're like, well, I'm doing the morning walks and I'm getting the sunlight, but like, you know, I have really poor blood sugar control. Like our peripheral clocks are circadian oscillators, which play a huge role in blood sugar. So focus on meal timing. Maybe what you do for the next 2 weeks is you say, I am going to get a protein and color rich breakfast in between 9 and 10 every day. And then see, once you start to feel better, you're more likely to adhere to things.
Right.
And you're more likely to make changes. If you do it all at once, you're going to stress yourself out and nothing's going to land and you're not going to know what's working.
That for me, I'm going to say it out loud to hold myself accountable. That's the thing that I'm the worst at.
The breakfast? The
breakfast, you mean? Meal timing.
Yeah,
I'm
okay.
I'm really chaotic with it. You know, we'll get going doing something or we'll be on with clients or doing recordings or whatever it is. And there's no, I just would like not. And I will be hungry. I always know when I'm hungry. Trust me. I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, I just forgot to eat. No, I'm not forgetting. No. I just choose not to do it, which is worse. Sarah, do you remember when I texted you guys a few months ago and I was like, I feel like a crazy person. I don't know what's going on.
Yes.
And you were like, all of these like really high level things are possible, but like, are you eating protein? Like, are you eating during the day? What's going on? And when I looked at it, I was like, I'm the worst dietitian in the land. It was awful. It was just like, I would start the day out strong, maybe, and then not eat anything during the day. And then wait until like 8 o'clock at night when Brian is done with his clients to eat this like thrown together thing and then go to sleep. It's awful. So I guess I'm trying to say personally, I'm telling you guys, it does matter. And I'm going to take meal timing on the next 2 weeks. I'll start on Monday, not tomorrow. I feel overwhelmed already.
Reminder on your calendar.
Yes.
Kelly. That's what I'm calling, like making a, like check in with yourself the way you check in with your friends. Like if your friend was like skipping, like when you said Kylie came at us with like all these incredibly high level things, I'm like, okay. Seriously.
And this is what happens when you're looking at things at that level for other people all day long, you're like, well, I must be my progesterone and the blah 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 and all this. She's like, did you eat?
No, but this is why, like, it's so true that, like, people, I think we all have experienced this where people are like, oh, your diet must be so great because you're a dietitian. And it's like, you can't counsel yourself. You can't.
No.
So it's like, people think that, but it's not just dietitians, it's anybody. People cannot actively do their specialty for themselves, I don't think. Like,
doctors go to doctors, hairdressers go to hairdressers, right? Yeah. No, if a heart surgeon had a shoulder problem, he'd go to a surgeon, right? Yeah. You know?
100%. It's a special type of exhausting to try to do it for yourself. Doesn't work. It doesn't. I mean, it works a little until it stops and you're not, it's not about it. Yeah. So anyway, that's why I messaged you guys. I was like, I can't think about it anymore. And I wasn't going to come to like a simple answer. That wasn't on the table.
Yeah, because we're in our own heads. So we all, and like, I feel like you probably see this too, Kylie, with like so many clients, but it's like, we're so focused on like the really sexy, trendy things that it's like, when's the last time you got sunlight? When's the last time you had enough protein? I'm looking for like a minimum of 60 grams of protein. And people are like, what? Why would you want that much? And it's like, people go right to muscle. And I'm thinking like, how are you repairing your gut lining? Mm-hmm. Like, where are you getting your glutamine? And how are you like helping build glutathione? And they're like,
why? Yeah, who? Who's that? We don't know her.
Totally. You know what, though? I say this to you all the time. here's the thing. I say this all the time, is that people beat themselves to shit about not knowing how to do something, not understanding how to heal, not knowing that they should have X amount of protein or fiber in their day, and then feel when they learn that, like, oh my God, I've been failing myself all along. And I always, I specifically for some reason recently, I've really been feeling the need to highlight this for people. Why in the world? Why in the world would you know that? Why? Nobody has taught you nutrition. If you're lucky, you were taught the food pyramid in like eighth grade health class. There's no nuance to it. There's no update to it. And your parents weren't taught either. So who's teaching you? It's not like you're born understanding and knowing how to do this. And not to mention on top of the fact that you as a human being, women in particular, change every single day. Your needs, what you – it's hard. It's too hard. I say like if somebody came to me and said, I need a heart transplant, I'd say, I'm so sorry. Unfortunately, I don't know how to do that. You know, and I don't feel bad about it. That's not what I was taught. The same thing goes here, but it gets – the message gets blurry, right? Because we're talking about food and everybody has to eat. Not everybody has to do a heart surgery. You have to eat. And so there's this like weird assumption that therefore you have to know how to do it well or else you have failed. And I'm just calling bullshit and giving all of you permission to just chill out. You aren't supposed to know. That's why we do stuff like this. That's why we bring people like Sarah on to teach you things. Not to make you feel like you're getting beat up, but to hold you accountable with the new information and help you add them into your life, as you're saying, Sarah, as tools. Not to make you feel like, again, you're going to fail if you don't.
Yeah. As Kylie says, to teach you the things you didn't know you didn't know.
That's it. Yeah, that you can. It. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah. End of story. Goodbye. Thank you.
We're all set here.
So I want to talk a little bit just briefly about the connection, because we talked about it a little bit, but the connection between the circadian rhythms and hormones. So Sarah, you had mentioned that the circadian rhythm changes depending on what phase a woman is or a cycling woman is in her cycle. So my first question, first part of this question is, what about women who are not cycling? And can you just sort of walk us through the menstrual cycle, the phases and what the hormones are doing in relation to the circadian rhythms or vice versa?
Yes. So women have a circadian and infradian rhythm. And then as we age in like postmenopausal and the hormones dip off, circadian frailty comes into play. So if we're talking about, I think like, and Kylie, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's simplest to just say low hormone phase, high hormone phase. Your low hormone phase encompasses your menstrual and your follicular. And then you have ovulation right after your follicular, and then it's really your high hormone phase. So we could do like a graphic maybe, but so in every woman's cycle is different. So if you don't align with these like numbers that I'm saying, these are just like kind of general, right? So like days 1 through 14 would be your low hormone phase, and it'd be day 1 of the bleed. And during this time, research shows us that we're more resilient to stress. So your HRV, kind of going back to that, you'll notice that your numbers trend a little bit higher during this time. Your body temperature is a little bit lower. You do better with higher intensity and, did I say blood sugar?
No.
Okay. And your blood sugar is typically a little bit more balanced. So this is a time where like our physiology is most similar to a man's. So during this time, we are a little bit more resilient to stressors. So I talked about like, you know, getting after like HIIT workouts, maybe things like spinning, where low hormone estrogen and progesterone are lowest. Day 14 is a general day, but most time this is when ovulation would occur, right? Post ovulation would then be your high hormone phase, about day 15 to 28. Again, this varies for every woman. Right. This is just general terms.
Right.
As our estrogen and progesterone start to increase, you'll notice your HRV starts to decline and your body temperature starts to increase. This is a time to do less. things like high intensity exercise can feel really difficult during this time because estrogen is carb sparing, meaning it makes it difficult for our body to utilize carbohydrates for those type of exercises. Progesterone high can be catabolic. So it's a great time during this time to focus on like a week or so out from your period, like walking, yoga, Pilates, lower impact movements, knowing you're less resilient to stress, like maybe nurturing yourself a little bit more, self-care, really being mindful of your sleep, because during this phase too, sleep can kind of be rocky.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So it sounds like the circadian rhythm is a little bit more, like you said, the verbiage, circadian fragility, right? So it seems to be a little bit more fragile or shaky during the luteal phase, right?
Okay. Yeah. And that's like, that encompasses like the infradian rhythm, right? So like women run off the circadian and infradian. So they go hand in hand, but like those cycles are part of the infradian rhythm. And then, sorry, is this like
too much? This is great.
And then as we age, circadian frailty occurs. So people see as you get older and you wear a whoop and an aura ring, your HRV trends a lot lower. That's normal. It's not something to freak out about. With the frailty, then too, comes an increased risk for things like sarcopenia, that loss of muscle, lean mass. When we lose lean mass and loss of muscle, right, blood sugar becomes more rockier. We tend to lose muscle and then we gain weight. This impacts our metabolism. So women in the reproductive years, we have infradian, circadian, and then obviously like postmenopausal, and then men don't obviously have an infradian. Circadian frailty really starts to come into play. So, you know, people notice like as they get older, they say, I don't sleep as much. You know, I'm having trouble sleeping, or, you know, I'm having trouble doing this. So being even more mindful of that, and just also like being gentle with yourself. Like as we age, it's okay to like swap out things that work in our 20s and our 30s and our 40s to like gentle.
Right, right. Which is a hard thing for people to hear you say.
I know. Like my postmenopausal women, right, with the decline in estrogen as a byproduct, we're going to lose muscle and we're going to lose lean mass. You are going to notice changes in your body. So this whole like keto thing, you need protein. You're already at more increased risk for sarcopenia, that loss of muscle. And so we know through research, both circadian alignment and then being mindful of your protein is really important. And there's a woman named Dr. Stacy Sims that if you want to learn more in your peri and postmenopausal, read her book Roar. It's a really great book that'll give you some educational tools.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. And I just have one more question about that are hormone related. Also, for those of you listening, if you didn't listen to episode 7, where Kylie and I have talked with Jillian and walks us through the menstrual cycle, go listen to it. It'll make a lot more sense.
Yes.
The things that Sarah is saying will make a lot more sense. Kylie said it's the health class you never got, and it's amazing. So go listen to that if you haven't already.
I listened to it. Yeah.
Did you really?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So in women with PCOS, we know that sometimes PCOS can mimic menopause in a way because the progesterone is low. Sometimes estrogen is even low. So in women with that type of PCOS, are we also looking at possibly some circadian disruption then too?
Yeah. With circadian disruption is going to come stress. Progesterone is a precursor for cortisol. Mm. So nobody who has a disrupted circadian rhythm is like, oh, I'm so relaxed and I feel so great and my HRV is in the hundreds, right? They're seeing a quality of life decline. Mm. And so talking about blood sugar is huge, which I'm sure Jillian covers all the time. She's a wealth of knowledge on her Instagram page too. And she talks a ton about the blood sugar component too. When blood sugar is erratic, this is a stressor for the body. So this can cause you to wake up throughout the night, which is going to disrupt your rhythm. Anytime you have excess stress, remember, cortisol is going to look around and be like, we need to make more. Boom. Progesterone's a precursor.
So you guys, the puzzle pieces are coming together. And if PCOS is like hitting a string with you, check out Eleni's episode. She dived into PCOS for us too. So that'll connect some
dots. That was episode 2.
Perfect. There you go.
Yeah.
And guys, going back to meal timing and blood sugar and how important blood sugar balance is for PCOS. Mm. And I talked about how our circadian rhythms are hooked to peripheral clocks, which just basically tie back to blood sugar. Meal timing can improve blood sugar response.
Good point.
Meal timing can improve blood sugar response, which is going to improve your stress overall, which we already went into how that triggers or doesn't trigger a million of the other sort of cascades, right?
Mm-hmm. Isn't it crazy? And then if you think about how stress, then if you have circadian disruption and you have hormonal issues, maybe excess estrogen, how do you think stress impacts your liver and its two detoxification pathways where estrogens metabolize? And if you're stressed, typically you're going to be constipated or have gut issues. And how is your body going to get rid of excess estrogen? It does that through dumping through your bowel movements, right? So it's like, from a holistic standpoint, it's a whole systems approach. It's not like things are just chilling on the side, yeah. Right? Like, if you're stressed, every organ feels it. Mm-hmm.
It's all related.
Oh, you guys, do you see how do you see how painfully interconnected, all of these things are? And when we have an issue, we go to a gastroenterologist for our gut stuff. We go to an endocrinologist for blood sugar or this thing. We go to our primary for this. We go, you know, and those people aren't normally talking to each other. And the gastro doesn't know what the endo knows and how those things interconnect. So when we're saying a whole systems approach, like getting sunlight might just be the thing, the thread that you can pull that kind of allows all of the other threads to fall where they need to fall. When you change one thing, it's not just going to change that one thing. It provides a new opening for everything else to find its little slot, like that Connect Four game, right? That's what I'm picturing. Yes.
And point one, like you said, like, you know, I always think, like, being from, like, East Coast, like, I played ice hockey growing up. My dad wasn't, like, suiting me up and putting me out. I learned how to skate. Then I learned how to stop. And I learned how to skate backwards. And I learned how to hold a stick. I learned how to, you know, think of it like swimming. You just want to throw your child in a pool. Or if you've never swam, right? You wouldn't be like, I'm going to go in the ocean, Kyla. Let's say you're like, I don't know how to swim. You would start with little things. Like, and I don't know why we're so aggressive with our nutrition, thinking that, you know, our body doesn't hear this, that our cells don't hear this. Like, what do we have, like 5 trillion neurons in our gut? What do we think they don't hear?
That's
this? Like our poor the cell, you know, when we're negative to like ourselves. Now research is coming out. I'll have to find the study, but that showed, I think it was self-talk shifted the gut microbial diversity in the gut of certain strains. Negative self-talk.
Zero, it's like 0% shock. Zero shock here.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
It's crazy.
That's amazing.
And this goes back to what I was saying about, for some reason, eating and nutrition does not get the same gentle approach that anything else would get if we were just trying to learn it. We'd forget that we were not taught. We'd forget that this is something that people deserve to be able to learn, and that it takes learning it to be able to feel good about it. It is skipped over. And then when we come to the realization that, oh shit, I really don't know what the hell I'm doing or how to do it well, you beat the shit out of yourselves. Well, I mean, listen, I'm not exempt from this. I do it too. And I know what I'm talking, you know, like I'm in this world and I still do it. So, you know, I'm saying this because I experience it myself, and this is as much a reminder to me as it is to those of you listening. You know, you can only be as successful as you are gentle and realistic with the approach. Being realistic. You would never tell somebody that you loved and cared about that they had to go from 0 to 100 or else they're a failure. Ever. You'd never do it. You know, and so that expectation shouldn't be held by you. Because guess what it does? It makes you feel stressed. It makes you talk shitty to yourself, which you were just telling us is a direct – this is not an indirect thing anymore, you guys. This is a direct thing that is keeping you from what you're trying to get. And that's the irony of all of it.
Right? Like the vagus nerve, right? That bidirectional highway that connects the gut to the brain. Poor vagal tone, right? That's associated with things like IBS, which like Kylie works with like – you know, so many women for gut health. And it's like, geez, I think sometimes people are just like, everybody's an expert, first of all, in nutrition
just
too. And I
ask them.
Just, so, I'm cruising and they're like, just take out carbs. And it's like, if your child had issue with carbohydrates, would you say like, sorry, honey, like it's keto here on out. Like you're never having birthday. You want to know why. Why am I having issues with carbs? Obviously, the genetic predispositions aside, like, are you getting sunlight? Are you living in alignment with your circadian rhythm? Do you have enough minerals? Do you have like adequate B vitamins? How are you supporting like your electron transport chain? All of these things. And I think we gravitate towards simple things because it's easy. So we're like, cool, I'm just going to cut out carbs. Mm. And we wonder why all these other issues come up.
I love what you said about people go to the thing that's sexy. They go to the thing that makes them feel like they're a part of a club, like they're a part of a thing. I'm low carb. I'm keto. I'm paleo. I'm vegetarian. I'm vegan. I'm gluten-free. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of those, by the way. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do it if it's what you feel best and supported by. But doing something to belong to something, not the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not always the trending hashtag Instagram. It might be that you need to get up and have sunlight in the morning. Mm-hmm. Or at least try it. I think last week's episode, we talked a lot about staying curious in relation to, mental health. And I think that the same thing can apply here. Stay curious. You are a constant science experiment for yourself. And just, Sarah, to your point, it's not like the things that work for you are not necessarily the best starting points for Meg. The things that work for you, Meg, are not going to be the best starting points for me, per se. So taking in all of the information, choosing a starting point, and then just playing around and allow that play to be a really cool success story.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Oh my God. I love that. It's so interesting how simple it is. I feel like in most of our episodes, we always come back to a similar conclusion about how it can. And I mean, in a lot of our episodes, we talk about some really debilitating things, right? Like we've talked about thyroid, we've talked about PCOS, like a lot of these health issues can be very debilitating. So this isn't to minimize anyone who's experiencing those things, but I think more so what I'm trying to say is there's a lot you can do that we have access to before you jump to the medications and the testing and things like that. And it mostly revolves around things like food or movement or connecting to nature or kind of like back to the basics, like animalistic type instincts, I guess, is like, and it's the same thing with it. Circadian rhythms falls into that too. Like living, like you were saying, Sarah, living in alignment with that. And it's a great reminder of how simple these things can be. And I would probably wager to bet the majority of situations, maybe not all, but the majority.
It's the low hanging fruit. It's the free low hanging fruit, right? It deserves at least a consideration before you go off the deep end. It might not be, to your point, Meg, it might not be the only piece of the puzzle, but it might be a big part of it. It might be a piece of it that allows the rest to really have an opportunity to work, right? There's so much. How much do you guys see this where you get all of the testing back, you're putting in the perfect intervention, and for some reason it's just not budging? It's because it's like the opportunity for healing doesn't exist for this person because there are so many other roadblocks that you're not going to find on a test. So just thinking about like, how can I make the rest of my job easier?
Control what you can. I mean, past and current research shows us that it's socioeconomic factors that have the largest cause on all-cause mortality. And I think people on Instagram love to like shit on other people for like buying non-organic, or there's guar gums in their milk. And it's like, God, we're so privileged too. And I don't think like, you know, we become obsessed with these things. And it's like, as Americans, we have we can Amazon anything, we can go to Whole Foods any time of the night. And by 2030, the World Health Organization is suggesting that type 2 diabetes will be the seventh leading cause of death worldwide.
That's disgusting.
But yet we have all of these things at our finger. We can order this, you can order that. And it's like, when are we going to wake up and realize that, like, being obsessed and addicted to our technology isn't serving our health? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, chasing all these fad diets isn't doing anything for our adrenals, which now, like, excess cortisol is associated with insulin resistance. Mm. So I think getting back to basics, it's not sexy, but, like, you wouldn't paint your house when it's on fire. So why do we think we can do our body when it's on fire? Or we want to do aesthetic changes, right? Like, if a client comes to us and it's like, I would love to tone up, and it's like, sister, your body's on fire. Would you go to Restoration Hardware and buy all this furniture when your house is on fire? And they're like, no. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you want to put yourself in a caloric deficit when, like, all you're going to do is further F up your shit?
Yeah.
It's like, so people just overlook the basics, because now we have every podcast, we have everything, but it's like, you know, research and our healthcare industry continues to show us, like, we are trending in the wrong direction. We are living longer, but we're living sicker.
Yeah. Oh my God.
There are a lot of people who are being called the fuck out right now. In, like, a really, I hope, supportive, like, loving, gentle, but, like, I am going to smack you over the head sort of way, like, with love. Because these are things that you don't have to change your world setup to be able to implement. You have to do, like, a few little tweaks that don't cost you any money.
Like, now it's like there's that whole, like, PUFA movement, like the polyunsaturated fatty acids. Yes, obviously, like, we shouldn't be consuming them, but, like, I like Catalina Crunch. It has safflower oil in it. I'm going to live my life. I have tools to negate it, but then I think we're paralyzed by this information, be like, I can't dine out because of PUFAs, or I can't do this because of that. And it's like, sister, get your magnesium, get some vitamin E in, and, like, live your life.
Yeah.
Like, sure. Do you really want to look back and think of all the things you didn't do because of all the fear-mongering you consumed?
Fear-monger. Don't even get me started. Don't even get me started.
Right? That's a whole other episode.
That we're not having on this podcast.
Yeah, no.
I love that, actually. Gosh. Let's sum that up right there. If you're reading something and you're feeling afraid to do things, the approach is not right. There might be some truth to the information, mm-hmm. right? Like, a fact can still remain a fact without it paralyzing you. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love how you said that. Because we just gave you an hour's worth of tools that you can choose to implement that's going to the benefit that those things will provide far outweighs if you have some sunflower oil in your chips, you know, or whatever it is.
I mean, I have clients that are, like, paralyzed by that. They're like, well, I love, like, this brand. And it's like, oh my gosh. It's like, the dose is in the poison. The poison's in the dose, first off. So are you crushing? Are you, like, just taking canola oil and, like, baking in it? Probably not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just, like, what you do consistently matters most than what you do sporadically.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
I love that. Point. Yes. What you do consistently allows you the opportunity to do random things that aren't amazing for you without it undoing you, without it undoing you. Somebody said something to me today about, oh, I accidentally had some of something, something. And I said, I'm going to use asparagus for example. It's like, you will not be undone by asparagus. It's not going to happen. Like, it's not, you're not that fragile. You're not that fragile.
Yeah.
Not anymore. I mean,
it's just like, yeah, but, like, live your life. Like, you'll miss out on a lot. Like, at one point in my life, I was obsessed with everything. I think it was my husband that was like, you're missing it. Like, we were in Switzerland. I was having my mom send me, like, boxes from Trader Joe's. And I was like, nope, got to do this. And he's like, you're kind of missing it. Because I was so focused on, like, I can't have this, I can't have that. And it was like, oh, my God, you're right. Like, F this. I'm going to have the fondue. I'm going to do this. But I think sometimes we consume so much information. We know so much. Like, even non-people, like, you know, who don't have a degree, right? You're like, okay, they said this is bad. They said that is bad. Like, that's why I no longer, like, on my Instagram page, I'm like, foods to avoid. I'm like, foods to include. Because it can like, F up your mindset, your mental
health. It does change the perspective. It just offers a new perspective. What can I have? Yeah. What can I enjoy? What should I put in? Mm-hmm. It's a much different mindset than this, like, lack, cannot, can't, no.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Sarah, thank you so much. I'm, like, so thrilled about this episode. I think we learned so much. You called me out and blew my mind and made me laugh and all the same, and it's all fine and wonderful.
You blew my mind, you called me out and made me laugh. You hit all the three important things.
That's all I need in life. That's it.
Well, I hope we'll stop scrolling.
She's not kidding.
I know. So listen, these are my blue light blocking glasses, all right? We're going to start with these and try to minimize the scrolling, okay? And then we'll go from there. But yes, I hear you. I need to stop scrolling. And for anyone else who's listening who also would like to stop scrolling, join me in this challenge.
And you can join her in that or join me in meal timing.
Yeah.
I'd love to join me in my morning sunlight. But you can set a time limit on your social apps. I do.
100% you can.
How do you do? Wait, how? Is it in the...
You have 5 minutes to go and you're like,
what? I'm gonna have to look up how to do that because that's a great idea. I would love to know how to do that. Cool.
I forget how to do it. You go into like your set, obviously.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right. I'll look. So Sarah, tell people where they can find you, how they can connect with you, and how they can work with you even if they're looking for some one-on-one help.
Yeah, you guys can find me at Nourish Thrive Glow on Instagram or just type it into Google and I'll be there.
Yes, and I just go follow her. I thoroughly enjoy your Instagram. I follow you. I'm a big follower, big fan, love all the stuff. It's great.
Thank you.
And I'll have all her stuff in the show notes for you guys. And as a reminder, if you're feeling a little jumbled, like we covered a lot and you need kind of more a concise list, I will put everything in the show notes in a nice little like actionable too long, don't listen sort of format. But you should listen, obviously.
Yes, come back to them. Come back. Listen, they're then your, return. Yes. Yeah.
Listen, yes, exactly. It's the Spark Notes version.
Yeah. Sarah, I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. I'm so glad. I feel so honored to know you and to have you in this world. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Kylie, I felt like I had known him my whole
life. I know. Seriously. It was so weird. We both did that thing where we're like, we don't want to say it, but...
Oh my gosh.
All right.
Thank you so
Sarah,
much.
Sarah, thank you. See you later.
Bye.
Hey, y'all. Thank you so much for listening and being here with us. It really means the world to us. And we want to let you know that we really love to hear from you and we want to know what you're more and more curious about. So if you are having a particular experience and you'd love for us to track down an expert to try to teach everybody more about that, let us know. Or on the other hand, if you have had an amazing experience with a practitioner who you think would be really great for our show, let us know. We would love to try to bring them on and spread the good news. Thank you so much. Let us know. We're happy to hear from you.